Well, welcome everybody. It's good to see you this morning. How's everybody doing? How many of you are ready to go to the beach? You know, we used to in years past, before COVID, we would move our service time up a half hour on Sunday morning so that everybody could be on the beach by 11. If we have weather like this for the summer, I say we do it. Okay, so if you have your Bibles, I want you to turn there to a couple of different places. Turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 32, and turn to 2 Kings chapter 18, chapter 19. So we're going to be in both of these portions of Scripture this morning. They both tell the same story, but from a different angle, and we pick up bits and pieces from one that we don't get in the other. So 2 Chronicles chapter 32 and 2 Kings chapter 18, and we'll get down to chapter 19 as well. So you notice up there, prosperous and successful. So these are really, we're going to look at this morning, principles of godly success. How many of you want to be successful in your walk with God? Anybody? That's most of us. That's good. For the rest of you, we hope that that's a goal that you might have at some point, okay? We want to be successful in our walk with the Lord. So these are principles of godly success. So if you're able to look along with me in your Bible, you'll understand where I got this from this morning. So in 2 Chronicles chapter 32, verse 30, it says this. How many of you are there? Say amen. It says, Hezekiah succeeded in everything he undertook. King James Version of that verse says this. It says, and Hezekiah prospered in all of his works. One says he succeeded in everything he did, and the other version says he prospered in all of his works. If you were to go back the chapter before, chapter 31, here's what it says. In everything that he undertook in the service of God's temple and in obedience to the law and the commands, he sought his God and worked wholeheartedly, and so he prospered. Let's read some more scripture. King James Version says this. It says, and in every work that he began in the service of the house of God and in the law and in the commandments, to seek his God, he did it with all of his heart and prospered. Okay, one more. 2 Kings chapter 18. 2 Kings chapter 18, verses 6 and 7. It says that he held fast to the Lord and did not cease to follow him. He kept the commands that the Lord had given Moses. And the Lord was with him, and he was successful in whatever he undertook. Now, is there anybody that doesn't want success or prosperity, but especially in our walk with the Lord? So we're going to see some keys from Hezekiah's life this morning. How is it that the Bible was able to say this about him in very difficult times? We're going to talk a little bit about the time he was living in. But it says that he was successful and he prospered in everything that he undertook. How many of you want that? Now, here's what I'm not saying. I found out I have to start saying what I'm not saying because people misunderstand me sometimes. So a couple of weeks ago, I was talking about text messages and how I don't like text messages. See, everybody remembers that. You're all nodding your head. Yeah, you remember that part. What did I preach on? You have no idea, right? Right. So I said, text is a little weird sometimes because you can't always tell tone in text. So, you know, sometimes it's just easier to pick up the phone. So two different people this week called me on the phone and they said, well, I know you don't like text, so I'm calling you. A couple days later, same thing. I know you don't like text, so I'm calling you. So I'm going to start off with what I'm not saying this morning. I'm not saying that if you do these things that we're going to look at, that you will be free from trouble or hardship, because Hezekiah had all of these, but yet in the midst of it, it says that he was prosperous and successful. What I am saying is that when we go through those times, God can still prosper us and give us success. How many of you heard what I said? Say amen. Now, I don't have time to tell all the stories in Scripture that could prove my point this morning, but let me just tell you a couple of stories, and then we're going to come to our text this morning. You might remember the Old Testament story of Joseph. His brothers threw him into a pit, sold him off into slavery. Potiphar buys him. He ends up a slave in his house. But here's what the Bible says about Joseph during that time as a slave. Here's what it says. It says, the Lord was with Joseph and he prospered. And the Lord was with him, and the Lord gave him success in everything he did. Same two words. He's in slavery. He prospered and was successful. Later, he's thrown in jail for doing the right thing. And here's what it says. Joseph's master took him and put him in prison, the place where the king's prisoners were confined. But while Joseph was there in the prison, so you got the story so far, right? He was in slavery, he prospered and was successful. Now he's in jail. It says, but while Joseph was there in the prison, the Lord was with him. He showed him kindness and granted him favor in the eyes of the prison warden. So the warden put Joseph in charge of all those held in prison. And he was made responsible for all that was done there. The warden paid no attention to anything under Joseph's care because the Lord was with Joseph, listen to this, and gave him success in whatever he did. Are you catching it? He was a slave, but he prospered. He's in jail, but he prospers. Well, let me give you one more. Old Testament story of Daniel. You know the story, taken into captivity, thrown in the lion's den. If you grew up in Sunday school, you know the story. But it says this in chapter 6, verse 28. It says, Daniel prospered during the reign of Darius and the reign of Cyrus the Persian. Hard times, successful, and prosperous. Let's go back to our text. So I'm going to give you a few principles of spiritual success this morning. First thing I want you to see in the text comes in chapter 29, verse 1. It says this, Hezekiah was 25 years old when he became king. And he reigned in Jerusalem 29 years, and his mother's name was Abijah, the daughter of Zechariah. Okay, what does that tell us? Okay, that only tells us who his mother was. Okay, now let's go to 2 Kings chapter 18. Now remember I told you? Both telling the same story, but from a different perspective. 2 Kings chapter 18, notice what it says. In the third year of Hoshea, son of Elah, king of Israel, Hezekiah, son of Ahaz, king of Judah, began to reign. Okay, so Chronicles tells us his mother's name. Kings tells us the father's name. Who was the father? The father was Ahaz, king of Judah. Now, what do we know about Ahaz? Okay, back to 2 Chronicles, chapter 28. Listen to what we find out about Ahaz, Hezekiah's father. Now, remember, Hezekiah is the guy that prospered and was successful in everything that he did. So you would think that he grew up with, you know, a silver spoon in his mouth and everything was beautiful, right? Let's get a little picture, a little snapshot of who his father was. The Lord had humbled Judah because of Ahaz, king of Israel. For he had, now listen to this, for he had, Ahaz, had promoted wickedness in Judah and had been the most unfaithful to the Lord. Ahaz took some of the things from the temple of the Lord and from the royal palace and from the princes and presented them to the king of Assyria, but that didn't help him. In his time of trouble, King Ahaz became even more unfaithful to the Lord. He offered sacrifices to the gods of Damascus who had defeated him. For he thought, since the gods of Aram have helped him, I will sacrifice to his gods so that they will help me. But they were his downfall and the downfall of all of Israel. Ahaz gathered together all the furnishings from the temple of God and took them away. He shut the doors of the temple and set up altars on every street corner in Jerusalem. In every town in Judah, he built high places to burn sacrifices to other gods and provoke the Lord, the God of his fathers, to anger. Okay, let me give you the snapshot, okay? Verse 19, he promoted wickedness and was unfaithful to the Lord. Verse 21, he took furnishings from the temple and gave them to an evil king. He became, verse 22, he became more unfaithful to the Lord, even in his hard time. You know, isn't it interesting? For me, hard times drive me more to the Lord, not further away from the Lord, because it's in hard times I need the Lord. Verse 23, He offered sacrifices to other gods. Verse 24, he empties out the temple, he locks the doors of the temple, and he sets up altars on every street corner. Verse 25, he built places of sacrifice to other gods in every town. Okay, how many of you know that Hezekiah didn't grow up in a church-going family? But yet everything he did, he was successful in and prospered. Well, let's get another little picture of his father. In 2 Kings chapter 16, I told you we're going to be bouncing back and forth. In 2 Kings chapter 16, look at verse 2 down through verse 4. Ahaz, this is his father, was 20 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem. 16 years. But unlike David, his father, he did not do what was right in the eyes of the Lord, his God. He walked in the ways of the kings of Israel and even sacrificed his son in the fire, following the detestable ways of the nations that the Lord had driven out before the Israelites. How's that for a picture of dear old dad? Oh, sorry, brother, you're being offered to a god. First thing I want you to see about Hezekiah. Why was he spiritually successful and prosperous? Was because he was able to break the mold of the past. He was able to break free of the past. Now, if I were to ask you in this room, how many of you have a past? Everybody's hand would go up. Anybody got a past in this room? Everybody. How many of you know that your past can kind of creep up on you sometimes? But he was able to break free of it. How many of you know when you, somebody said to me last week, they said, I love it when you say, how many of you know? And I said, yeah, I know. I say that all through the message. How many of you know? How many of you know? How many of you know? How many of you know that when you came to Christ, you became a new person? Became a new person. It says this in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. You know it well, probably. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though once we regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Verse 17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone and the new has come. So for us, first step in spiritual success is to give our life to Jesus, because we become a new person. We are breaking free from the past. Hezekiah was able to break free from the past traditions. Second thing I want you to see. Let's go back to 2 Chronicles chapter 29. In the first month of the first year of his reign, now catch this. In the first month, in the first year of his reign, in other words, he didn't waste any time, he got right to business. What did he do? He opened the doors of the temple of the Lord and repaired them. Remember, what did his father do? Shut the doors, emptied out the temple, locked the doors, set up high altars all around the country, every town in the country. In the first month of the first year of his reign, he opened the doors of the temple of the Lord and repaired them. He brought in priests and Levites and assembled them in the square of the east side. He said, listen to me, Levites, consecrate yourselves now and consecrate the temple of the Lord, the God of your fathers, to the God of your fathers. Remove all the defilement from the sanctuary. Then he goes on. Our fathers were unfaithful. They did evil in the eyes of the Lord our God and forsook him. They turned their faces away from the Lord's dwelling place and turned their backs on him. They also shut the doors of the portico and put out the lamps. They didn't burn any incense or present any burnt offerings at the sanctuary of the God of Israel. Therefore, the anger of the Lord has fallen on Judah and Jerusalem. He's made them an object of dread and horror and scorn, as you can see with your own eyes. That's why our fathers have fallen by the sword, and why our sons and daughters and wives are taken into captivity. Now I intend to make a covenant with the Lord, the God of Israel, so that his anger will turn away from us. My sons, do not be negligent now, for the Lord has chosen you to stand before him and to serve him, to minister before him and to burn incense. Isn't this a great picture? Okay, so he breaks free from the past. But then what does he do? Right away, first month, first year, He consecrates himself to the Lord. I wrote down here in my notes that he began to follow hard after God. He began to follow hard after God. How many of you know there's a big difference between mall walking and running a race? He followed hard after God. Notice how he brought the people back into relationship with God. He reopened the doors of the temple and repaired them. They confessed their sin. They consecrated themselves and the temple. Listen, that is exactly how you and I need to come before God if we want to be spiritually successful and prosperous. Open the door of your heart to him. That's the first thing he did. Open the doors of the temple. The Bible says this in Revelation. It says that Jesus himself is standing at your heart's door knocking. Here I am, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him and will be with him and he with me. Second thing they did was confess their sins. How many of you are sinners? And the rest of you proved my point because you just lied. They confess their sin. The Bible says this, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. I love what Corey said when he led us in communion, quoting his kids. What do you think about? Well, I think about the body of the Lord that was given for us. I think about the blood of the Lord that was shed for the forgiveness of our sins. So they opened the doors of the temple. Open the door of your heart this morning to the Lord. Confess sin. Third thing they did was they consecrated themselves. What does this word consecrate mean? It means to set yourself apart. When something is consecrated, it is set apart for a purpose. So consecrate yourselves. It's kind of like what Jesus said. He said, you know, if you want to be my disciple, you got to deny yourself, pick up your cross, and come follow me. In other words, I'm consecrating myself to the Lord. I'm in this thing. I'm in it to win it. Consecration. Everybody say consecration. Consecration. Third thing I want you to see from the life of Hezekiah. This I found interesting. 2 Kings chapter 18. Says that he was, verse 2 down through verse 4, says he was 25 years old when he became king. And he reigned in Jerusalem 29 years. His mother's name was Abijah, daughter of Zechariah. He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, just as his father David had done. He removed the high places. He smashed the sacred stones. And he cut down the Asherah poles. He broke into pieces the bronze snake that Moses had made. For up to that time, the Israelites had been burning incense to it. It was called Nehushtan. Okay. How many of you remember the bronze snake from Moses? Let me give you the background in case you don't know the story. In Numbers chapter 21, it says this. It says that the people spoke against Moses and said, why have you brought us out of Egypt to die in the desert? There's no bread, there's no water, and we detest this miserable food. Then the Lord sent venomous snakes among them. They bit the people, and many Israelites died. The people came to Moses and said, we sinned when we spoke against the Lord and against you. Pray that the Lord will take the snakes away from us. So Moses prayed for the people. How many of you love the Bible? There are just great stories in the Bible. I mean, it's just the best. The Lord said to Moses, make a snake and put it up on a pole. Anyone who is bitten can look at it and live. So Moses made a bronze snake and put it up on a pole. Then when anyone was bitten by a snake and looked at the bronze snake, he lived. Okay, let me just say a couple of things about the bronze snake. Okay, back to Hezekiah. The people were worshiping Nehushtan. They were worshiping the bronze snake. They were burning incense before the bronze snake. So we go back to the Old Testament, we find out the story. This is where the bronze snake came from. Let me just say a couple things. It wasn't the bronze snake that brought the healing, it was their obedience to God that brought the healing. Second thing I want you to see is that it was a picture of Christ. Because the Bible says this in John chapter 3, you know verse 16 very well, but I'm going to read verse 14 down through verse 16. It says, just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him might have eternal life. Isn't that a cool picture? Old Testament, look at the bronze snake, you'll be healed. New Testament, everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. Then you know this verse, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. So what was the problem? I mean, here's this awesome thing that God made for the people. They called it Nehushtan. It was the bronze snake. But what happened? The thing that God had given them for a good thing became their object of worship. The bronze snake, they began to worship the bronze snake instead of the God who created the bronze snake. So what do we see out of the life of Hezekiah then? He refused idols. He refused idols. What's an idol? You know what an idol is? Anything that takes the place of God. You can make anything an idol. You begin to worship that rather than the God who gave you that. Somebody say amen. Amen. Fourthly, I want you to see this in the text, is that he refused bondage. This is such a great outline. What a great picture this is for you and me. How did Hezekiah stand against the force that wanted to put them in bondage? We got to read some of the text again. 2 Kings chapter 18, verses 5 down through verse 7. Hezekiah trusted in the Lord, the God of Israel. There was no one like him among all the kings of Judah, either before him or after him. He held fast to the Lord and didn't cease to follow him. He kept the commands that the Lord had given Moses, and the Lord was with him, and he was successful in whatever he undertook, and he rebelled against the king of Assyria and did not serve him. So, I want you to see what he was up against. In 2 Kings chapter 18, if you jump down some verses, verse 9 down through verse 13. In Hezekiah's fourth year, which was the seventh year of Hoshea, son of Elah, king of Israel, Shalmaneser, king of Assyria, marched against Samaria and laid siege to it. At the end of 3 years, the Assyrians took it. So Samaria was captured in Hezekiah's sixth year, which was the ninth year of Hoshea, king of Israel. The king of Assyria deported Israel to Assyria and had them settle in Halah, in Gozan, by the Habor River in the towns of the Medes. This happened because they didn't obey the Lord their God, but it violated his covenant. So here's the picture. The Assyrians were marching towards Jerusalem. And they were conquering towns along the way. The northern kingdom of Israel had already fallen. So now Judah is being invaded. But it says here that Hezekiah rebelled against the king of the Assyrians. Their captives would have rings put through their noses, and they would be led around by the ring in their nose. They would be tortured just for fun. They would gouge out their eyes. They would have their skin ripped off in layers until they died. How many of you know that's an attack? But it says that he rebelled against this king. But then something happens. Something happens. Listen to the text again. Verses 13 through 16, 2 Kings chapter 18. This to me was, when I was reading this portion of scripture, how many of you are still with me today? When I got to this portion of scripture, this part of the story made me sad when I read it. Watch what happens. In the 14th year of King Hezekiah's reign, Sennacherib, king of Assyria, attacked all of the fortified cities of Judah and captured them. So Hezekiah, king of Judah, sent this message to the king of Assyria. I have done wrong. Withdraw from me and I will pay whatever you demand of me. The king of Assyria exacted from Hezekiah, king of Judah, 300 talents of silver and 30 talents of gold. So, look at this verse. So Hezekiah gave him all of the silver that was found in the temple and in the treasuries of the royal palace. At this time, Hezekiah, king of Judah, stripped off the gold with which he had covered the doors and the doorposts of the temple of the Lord and gave it to the king of Assyria. Now remember, in the first month of the first year, he got serious about this thing, repaired the doors, tells us here that they were overlaid with gold. But what did he do? He stripped off the gold which he had covered the doors and the doorposts of the temple and gave it to the king of Assyria. So are you following the story with me? It's so cool, isn't it? So all this time, right, he's rebelling against the king. He's serving God wholeheartedly. But the attack came and he began to fold. He had a setback. You talk about a setback. All the effort that he had put into overcoming the past, restoring relationship with God, was now being compromised. We've probably all been in this place, following hard after God, putting the past behind us, then a little bit of a setback. But the good news is this: he didn't stay in it. He didn't stay in it. Because how many of you know, when you stay in that place, the enemy always wants more? The drug addict on the methadone mile, you know, I don't think when they took their first hit that they thought they were going to be living on the methadone mile in a tent. But here's what happens. The devil always wants more. That's why the Bible says don't give him a foothold. Because a foothold can become a stronghold. The enemy always wants more. Now, if we were to read this text, it's kind of fun the way it goes on. I'm going to read some of it. The field commander said to him, "Tell Hezekiah, this is what the great king, the king of Assyria, says. On what are you basing this confidence of yours? You say you have strategy and military strength, but you speak only of empty words. On whom are you depending that you rebel against me? Look, now you're depending upon Egypt, that splintered reed of a staff which pierces a man's hand and wounds him if he leans on it. Such is Pharaoh, king of Egypt, to all who depend upon him." Okay, that probably meant absolutely nothing to you, all right? But a little bit of history, okay? The Egyptians and the Assyrians were sort of vying for world control. And he was already caving. Hezekiah is caving to the king of Assyria. He's giving him some of the gold off the temple doors and all of that stuff. But the enemy always wants more. So he sends him this message. "On whom are you depending, Hezekiah? On whom are you trusting in?" Then verse 23. "Come, make a bargain with me, with my master, the king of Assyria. I will give you 2,000 horses if you can put riders on them. How can you repulse one officer of the least of my master's officials, even though you are depending upon Egypt for chariots and horsemen?" So this king is mocking him for trying to form an alliance with this king, the king of Egypt. He's mocking. Who are you trusting in? He's going to give you chariots? You can't stand against one of my regiments. Verse 25 down through verse 45. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but basically it's this. He says, "Stop trusting in God. If you do, it won't go well. Compromise with me and it will go well." How many of you know the enemy always wants more? And compromise is never a good idea. Last thing I want you to see about Hezekiah. He relied totally on God. He relied totally on the Lord. When King Hezekiah heard this, he tore off his clothes and he put on sackcloth and went into the temple of the Lord. Verse 15, 2 Kings 19. Hezekiah prayed to the Lord, "O Lord God of Israel, enthroned between the cherubim, you alone are God over all the kingdoms of earth. You have made heaven and earth. Give ear, O Lord, and hear. Open your eyes, O Lord, and see. Listen to the words that this king, he who has insulted the living God. It's true, O Lord, that the Assyrian kings have laid waste to these nations and their lands. They have thrown down their gods into the fire and destroyed them, for they were not gods, but only wood and stone fashioned by men's hand. Now, O Lord our God, deliver us from this land so that all kingdoms on earth may know that you alone are Lord. Notice the Lord's response. How many of you know that was a cry out to the Lord? Notice God's response. He says to the Assyrians, because you rage against me and your insolence has reached my ears, I will put my hook in your nose and my bit in your mouth, and I will make you return the way you came. How cool is that? That's God coming to the rescue. Okay, when they would capture the city, they would put hooks in the people's noses, drag them around, and then God turns the tables on them. He says, okay, here's what you're going to get. But to Hezekiah, he says this. This will be the sign for you, O Hezekiah. This year you will eat what grows by itself, and the second year what springs from that. But in the third year, sow and reap, plant vineyards and eat their fruit. Once more, a remnant of the house of Judah will take root below and bear fruit above. Notice what God says to him. He says, Hezekiah, okay, you're following Hezekiah's story with me. I mean, it's an awesome story. Prosperous and successful in whatever he did. Why? Why? Because he was able to put the past behind him. Because he followed hard after God. He didn't let anything take the place of God in his life. He got rid of the idols. And when he did compromise, he didn't stay there, but got right back up and put his faith and hope and trust in the Lord. Notice what God says to him here in the text. He said, you will have a great future. I will be with you and defend you. I'll tell you what, those are five things that everybody in this room or anybody hearing my voice should do this morning. Every one of us. Put the past behind you, don't let it define you. Develop a relationship with God and follow hard after him. Don't let anything take the place of God in your life. No idols. Don't compromise. And if you have compromised, get back up and get back in the race and put your faith, your confidence and your trust fully in the Lord. Somebody say amen if you heard me this morning. Let's stand together and worship, shall we?